Relevant Rewind. From the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio, this edition of Relevant Rewind is made possible by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Find financing for your own Catholic project by going to relevantradio.com, keyword project.
I mentioned to you yesterday a blog called Watching the Whirlwind. It's written by a friend of mine. Her name is Bettina, and you may remember her name because I shared with you also that she contacted me a few years ago by email to tell me about how she had come out of the darkness of a secular life that I'll leave it to her to explain to you more clearly. But she saw an Immaculate Heart Radio bumper sticker in traffic many times and didn't bother trying to figure out what it was. Eventually she did. She started listening, and that made all the difference because she was able to leave this world of just a lot of terrible experiences. And I mentioned that she had this blog post yesterday at watchingthewhirlwind.com about suicide and how she was reflecting upon two times in her own life when she actually attempted to commit suicide when she was a young woman. I mean, she's still a young woman, but when she was younger. So, Bettina, it's a nice surprise for you to call in right now, and I appreciate you calling in. Were your ears burning, or did you hear me say on the radio promoting your blog about the suicide post?
Well, I do listen to you in the background while I work. I actually work from home in the mornings. I have a remote customer service job at this point, and I have you playing in the background, so I did hear you. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. I really like your writing a lot. You know that. And I'm very happy to be able to promote it to my audience because a lot of people are looking for what you give them in that blog and in your other writings. So how about could you first just tell people a little bit about your background? I don't want to tell your story, rather that you would tell it and just give them a sense of what you've been through getting to the point where you're now Catholic.
So as a child, I had a really horrific childhood, a lot of abuse and neglect. And I didn't really make things any better when I was on my own. I made a lot of poor decisions. I suffered from depression my entire life, as far as I can remember. And as a young person, I attempted suicide at age 13, and then again at age 30. At age 30, I was a call girl in San Francisco, and I had made a complete mess of my life, and it seemed to me that the only way out was the permanent way out. And by the grace of God, I survived, and here I am.
Yeah, and that's you're skipping over a huge amount of traumatic experiences. Yes. Now, you do talk about some of that on your blog, don't you?
Yes. I do. I talk in more detail about how I got to those low places and why I made the decision I did. Also, why people in general come to that conclusion. You know, nobody decides to kill themselves without really struggling with a lot of problems and coming to the point where they truly believe there is no other solution. And that's what happened to me as well. Things were just falling apart, and it seemed like there was no way to put them back together again.
Now, very few people listening, I suspect, will have any direct knowledge of the world of prostitution, but you have shared with me and in some of your writings about how it was a very lucrative line of work. You could make hundreds or even $1,000 an hour, lots of handbags and expensive shoes and expensive clothing and all kinds of goodies.
Right.
But as you told me before, you felt more empty then than at any time before that time, right?
Absolutely. I was surrounded by loot, you know, money, stuff, wining and dining, you know, a lot of things that people see as the goal of life, you know, as being successful. But it was, my life was completely empty. There was nothing. You know, I was seeking to fill this void inside with material objects, and it completely failed. It did not work at all. When I felt more empty inside than ever.
Now, you didn't come from a Christian background. Your dad was a fallen away Catholic, correct?
Right. Yeah, he was an altar boy when he was a child, but he never had me baptized. And my mother actually is baptized as a Catholic as well, but she never practiced any faith.
Yeah. But try to describe for people what that was like when your parents divorced. I was talking about the analogy that Layla Miller had told me, where you're on an airplane with your parents and the divorce is like when they put on parachutes and jump out of the airplane and leave you there by yourself. Describe for people the kind of home you lived in when you were growing up as a child of divorce.
Well, I lived with my mother. She was given custody, which was crazy because she was just incredibly unfit to be a parent. She was a drug addict, an alcoholic. She, you know, was basically lived this party lifestyle and had no interest whatsoever in raising her children. So we were left to our own devices, left to sort of raise ourselves with limited success.
That's putting it nicely. And there was a revolving door of boyfriends coming in and staying at the house, and who knows all the stuff that happened there.
She would you know, shack up with someone, and then basically, you know, it would be this violent relationship. If they weren't already inclined to beat her, she would basically goad them until they did, and then, you know, everything would explode. They would leave. Someone new would come in, and the whole drama would repeat.
Oh my! So you're there as a little girl growing into your teenage years. There are a few other things, and I only know these because I know you, and also I've read the chapter that you wrote, of course, in Surprised by Life, and I've also had a chance to look at the manuscript that you're working on for a full-scale book on this issue. Why suicide, and why now? What prompted you to write that blog post about the labyrinth? And just, can you talk a little bit about that? Because some people are really struggling with that issue, that temptation of suicide right now.
It's been something that's been on my mind to write about for a while, because it is something that I struggle with. And, you know, to be honest, my friend who publishes a little Catholic newspaper called Aremus Press asked me for a piece. He said, you know, we need a piece from you this month. And I was sitting there and I thought, what can I write about? And then this idea of the legend of Sleepy Hollow being a metaphor for depression came into my mind, and I just ran with it. And I have heard from so many people since posting that article who have their own private struggles, who were just so glad to hear that they're not alone, you know? And that's the hardest thing. When you're in that place, you feel like you're all alone, like no one could possibly understand your problems. But the thing is, you're not. You know, there are so many other people in that maze with you. We just can't see each other. We don't know how to reach out. But we need to. I mean, you cannot get out alone. You cannot. Mm-hmm.
So for somebody listening right now, Bettina, who is saying, yeah, that pretty much describes me. I feel like there's no escape. My life is a mess. I don't like this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And the bottle of pills is looking more and more attractive. What is your message to somebody who's in that situation?
The very first thing to do is pray, because Jesus understands. He's been through that dark night. I mean, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, for crying out loud, he sweated blood. I mean, he was so distressed, he sweated blood. If that's not the type of thing that, I mean, to me, that's the epitome of what we go through when we're contemplating suicide. Feeling like what's impending is something we cannot face, or what we're in the midst of is something we cannot solve. But he knows, and we can talk to him, and he gets it, you know? So even if there's no one else you know, no other human you know who gets it, Jesus gets it, and he will listen, and he will help us. So that's the first and foremost thing to do, is pray. Secondly, reach out to the people who love you, because people do get it. They do understand. Even if they haven't been there, they care, and they want to help. And no one's going to judge you. No one's going to think less of you. People want you in this world. They want you in their lives. People love you. And when you leave by committing suicide, you leave behind a wake of sorrow. And those people want you to stay. They will help you. So you have to reach out. Reach out to God, reach out to your loved ones, and get help.
Listen to The Patrick Madrid Show weekdays 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app.